latest reports from doctors on the 14-day palm olive plan.
Pittsburgh reports better complexions for 67%.
St. Louis reports better complexions for 81%.
In city after city, doctors tested the 14-day palm olive plan on all types of skin. And 2 out of 3 of all women tested got better complexions in 14 days.
What is this 14-day palm olive plan?
Wash your face 3 times a day with palm olive soap. Then each time take 60 seconds more to massage palm olive's lovely soft lather onto your skin as you would a cream. Then rinse. This cleansing massage with palm olive's lather brings your skin its full beautifying effect.
See what palm olive can do for your skin in 14 days. Remember, doctors prove palm olive's beauty results.
Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance presents Pride and Prejudice. Yes, tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance, featuring each week your favorite stories and plays, especially adapted for radio. And here is your host of the evening, Arnold Moss, to tell you about this evening's presentation, Pride and Prejudice.
Mrs. Bennett, wife of Mr. Bennett of the estate known as Longbourn in England, was the mother of 5 daughters. We're going to tell you the story of her second eldest daughter, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Bennett was a beautiful girl. Proud? Oh, yes. And prejudiced? Oh, very strongly. Against a certain Mr. Darcy. And this is why. Elizabeth was at a ball given by a Mr. Bingley, who appeared quite interested in Elizabeth's younger sister, Jane. Well, at the ball, Elizabeth was sitting out a dance alone when she overheard...
Why are you standing over here by yourself, Darcy? Come on, let's see you dance a few sets.
Thank you, no. You're dancing with the only pretty girl in the room, Bingley.
Jane Bennett? Yes, she is beautiful. I'll not deny that. But there's her sister Elizabeth sitting over there to the right, who's very beautiful herself. Let me present you to her.
Sorry, old man. She may look all right to you, but she doesn't tempt me. And I'm not in a good enough humor to feel like putting up with young ladies who have no partners.
You can easily see why Elizabeth Bennett became more than a little prejudiced against Mr. Darcy. But later that evening, when she was crossing the room...
Miss Bennett, would you care to dance?
No, thank you, Mr. Darcy. I was just going out for a breath of air.
Surely you won't refuse me.
I suppose I must be the first who ever has, Mr. Darcy. But I am rather critical of my dancing partners, just as you are. And now, please excuse me.
You don't like me, do you, Miss Bennett?
That is an understatement, Mr. Darcy.
I'm very sorry. But there's something that seems to draw me to you. The room was suddenly empty when you started to leave it. Or perhaps it was my heart. Why do you dislike me?
Oh, Mr. Darcy, I couldn't begin to tell you.
Well, then, I certainly won't force myself upon you any longer.
Good evening, Mr. Darcy.
Good evening, Miss Bennett.
Well, Darcy, why are you walking up and down so late out here? It's almost 3 in the morning.
Why are you walking up and down so late, Bingley?
Darcy, don't you think Miss Jane Bennett is a truly remarkable girl?
Yes, but I haven't been keeping myself awake over that. I've been thinking what a remarkable girl Miss Elizabeth Bennett is.
But I thought you detested her.
Yes, I did. But I seem to have become a little mixed up in my emotions.
It's so late, Elizabeth. We really should go to bed.
I know. But the moonlight's so bright.
Elizabeth, don't you think Mr. Bingley is forever?
Extremely.
And delightfully charming.
Delightfully.
Oh, Elizabeth, you aren't really listening to me at all. What are you thinking about?
How much I dislike Mr. Darcy.
Now, while Jane and Bingley were busy dreaming about each other, and while Darcy was dreaming about Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was thinking about how much she disliked him, Mrs. Bennett was busy settling the lives of 3 of them.
Mrs. Bennett, will you please come to bed? You make me so nervous charging up and down the room that I can't close my eyes.
Well, Mr. Bennett, if you don't care anything about the future of your daughters, I do. I've got to get them married and settled. Good heavens, I have five on my hands. And practically no one I know has more than two to worry about.
Mrs. Bennett, why not leave that in the hands of Providence for tonight? There's really very small chance of your getting them married at 3 a.m.
Jane, of course, will marry Mr. Bingley. Now, Elizabeth, I think Elizabeth must marry Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins, all right. May I go to sleep now, Mrs. Bennett?
Yes, Mr. Bennett. You may.
Miss Elizabeth, permit me to tell you that I have your mother's permission to address you on the subject of matrimony.
I'm sorry, Mr. Collins, but I'm not in love with you.
Ooh, my patroness and esteemed friend, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, will be most disappointed. I have already informed her of my intentions towards you.
Surely Lady de Bourgh must have problems of her own to think about?
She is most anxious to see me settled and to see her own daughter settled with Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy?
They have been engaged since they were born. Lady Catherine and Mr. Darcy's mother made all the arrangements.
I wish them great joy. Although, in my opinion, Mr. Darcy is the most impossible, vain, egotistical, unpleasant, ill-mannered man it has ever been my bad fortune to meet.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't mention Mr. Darcy sooner, Miss Elizabeth. I would have known then why there is no hope for me.
Miss Bennett. Oh, Miss Bennett.
Mr. Darcy?
We seem to be walking in the same direction.
I can change my direction. I'm only out for a little pleasant air. I've had a very wearing day.
No, I'll change my direction. I wouldn't think of spoiling your walk.
Just as you wish, Mr. Darcy.
This seems as good a time as any to say goodbye, I suppose.
Goodbye? I thought you and Mr. Bingley were going to be here all the winter.
We had a change of plans. My sister has not been well, and I'm taking her to Italy. Bingley's coming along with us. He and Gladys, well, there's been an understanding between them for some time. You follow me, don't you?
Perfectly, Mr. Darcy.
I think they'll be getting married in the spring as soon as we can work it out. When two people are in love, there's no point in waiting, is there?
Of course not. Especially if one of the people seems to be falling in love with someone else.
Ah, you do follow me. You see, Miss Bennett, you have a designing mother, and my sister's happiness is at stake. Your mother talks too much, Miss Bennett, much too much for someone after such an elusive thing as a proposal of marriage. She's been telling everyone in the neighborhood that Miss Jane and Bingley were as good as engaged. Well, now that she's made that little bed, she and Jane will have to lie in it. Alone. And now, good day, Miss Bennett. Good day and goodbye. I'm sorry we were never able to get along, because I think you're a fine and beautiful woman. Whatever I think of the designs of your mother and sister.
Do you think I care what you think of me?
No, I entertain no such hopes, Miss Bennett. If I ever had any little conceits, you've long since destroyed them. Undoubtedly, that will give you great personal satisfaction.
Goodbye, Mr. Darcy. I hope you'll be very happy in Italy.
If it's any consolation to you, I won't. You see, I haven't escaped entirely unscathed in this fray. I have a few wounds to lick myself. Goodbye, Miss Bennett.
We'll be back in just a moment with the second act of Pride and Prejudice. And now here is Del Sharbot. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it. If you want to be popular, always have a breath that's sweet. That advice is solid. And solid, too, is this advice. Use Colgate tooth powder night and morning and before every date. For Colgate is the only tooth powder that offers proof of this fact.
Scientific tests have definitely proved that Colgate tooth powder stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Stops it instantly in 7 cases out of 10.
Yes, Colgate tooth powder is the only tooth powder that offers you this proof. Well, you know what to do. For a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles, use Colgate tooth powder night and morning and before every date.
because instantly it stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth in 7 cases out of 10. Its safe, gentle polishing agent quickly removes dull, dingy surface film, reveals all the natural luster of your teeth. Sweet breath, dazzling smiles. Why accept less of any dentifrice? Get Colgate Tooth Powder tonight. Remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder. And now the second act of Pride and Prejudice.
Mrs. Bennet, will you kindly stop that infernal noise?
Oh, my poor Jane, my poor broken-hearted baby. How could any man be so cruel and black-hearted? How could any man go off without a word of farewell after all the attentions he's showed her?
Mother, please, you're keeping everyone in the house awake.
How can you be so callous, Elizabeth Bennet? Don't you care that your sister has a broken heart?
Oh, eternal perdition.
Mother, please stop crying about me. I'm all right.
My baby, my poor broken-hearted baby.
Mother, I don't want to hear any more of this. It's humiliating and very upsetting. I would appreciate it if you never mentioned Mr. Bingley's name to me again. Come on, Elizabeth, let's go back to our room. Good night, Father. Mother?
Good night, girls.
Good night.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, now I've got to start from scratch again. I've got 5 daughters and not one husband in sight. I declare I could just cry. I'm that disappointed.
Elizabeth, please don't hum that song.
Oh, Jane, I am sorry. I don't mean to be annoying.
That's one of Mr. Bingley's favorite songs. He sang it to me at the ball. Elizabeth, I'm afraid I love him very much. I ought to be too proud to admit that. But tonight I don't seem to have any pride. Tonight all I can think is how lovely life was for a few weeks. How lovely it might have been.
Oh, Jane.
You don't know what it's like, Elizabeth. You've never been in love. It hurts so much you want to die. Yet you know you won't die. But you'll go on living with the hurt. And when the hurt finally goes, you'll be completely empty.
Empty. The room was suddenly empty when you walked out. Or perhaps it was my heart.
What are you talking about?
Someone said that to me once.
You never told me. Someone you loved?
Someone I might have loved.
I know who, Elizabeth. I've guessed. I'm sorry I said that. It was selfish of me. You know far more about how love can hurt than I. I at least had a few weeks of happiness.
I did not say I was in love. I only said I might have been, if I didn't despise him so.
Don't be too proud, Elizabeth. Pride is such a lonely thing when you choose it in place of love.
Pride is all I have, all I've been offered, and all I want. Good night, Jane. I'm very sleepy.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy, this is a surprise.
Good afternoon, Miss Bennet.
You're looking thin and not a bit well. Didn't Italy agree with you?
Not too much, no. Miss Bennet, there's something I must tell you. It's not at all easy since you've gone to much pains to let me see how distasteful I am to you. But I love you, and I have to tell you.
Have you lost your mind?
No. Only my heart. Elizabeth, will you marry me? I offer you a name of some honor through many generations, security and comfort, and my great devotion.
You surely cannot think that I will accept you. Even you could not have that much conceit.
I hoped you might accept me. Let us put it that way.
Mr. Darcy, I've never asked for your good opinion or your love, and I'm amazed that you have chosen to bestow them on me. There have been a lot of tears shed in this house in the past few months, and you have been the cause of all of them. I assure you that I would marry anyone in the world before I would marry you.
Forgive me for boring you, Miss Bennet, and for taking up your time. Don't think that you can make me ashamed of my love, because it is above reproach and the best that's in me to offer a woman. But I am ashamed of the object of my love. I thought I was kneeling at your feet when I asked you to marry me. Now I see I was stooping a little. Thank you for refusing me. Forgive me for taking up so much of your time, and accept my best wishes for your health and happiness.
What's wrong,
Mother?
My dear?
Oh, it's Lydia. It's Lydia. She's run off with a soldier. Oh, look at this note. Oh, my baby, my poor baby, married without her mother there. God bless her.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Bennet, he will marry her, won't he? No soldier would be as low as to run off with a young lady and not marry her, would he?
What do you think, Mrs. Bennet?
Oh, Mr. Bennet, oh, Elizabeth, what am I to do? This will ruin us all. We'll never get any husband.
You have all the law allows, my dear.
Aren't you going to get your horsewhip and go after that man, Mr. Bennet?
Yes, madam, I am, as soon as I can get dressed. Someone should have warned me what marriage can lead to. I might have avoided this all 30 years ago.
No! Mr. Bennet!
Madam, be silent. If Lydia isn't married now, she will be very soon. I'll see to that.
Father, I want to talk to you.
Yes, Elizabeth?
When you went up to London and got Lydia married, just how did you manage it?
Oh, there was nothing to it, my dear.
Lydia says you gave them £1,000. Where did you get the £1,000, Father?
From Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy?
Yes, he came to see me. He'd heard about Lydia, and he said the only way to straighten things out was to give them some money to get them started.
You shouldn't have accepted any money like that from Mr. Darcy. He's not a friend of ours, Father.
Not a friend? He's a friend in need. It's only a loan. I'll pay it back. It's a shame that you can't find anything good about Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth. And it's a shame that you resent it when you come face to face with something that's so kind and good you can't deny it. Are you in love with Mr. Darcy, daughter?
Why does everyone keep asking me if I'm in love with that man?
Maybe because you have so many symptoms.
It takes more than symptoms to make a case of anything. I'm not in love with him. And no matter what he does for this family, I'm not going to be in love with him.
All right, Elizabeth, all right.
Elizabeth, oh, Elizabeth, darling. Mr. Bingley and I have something to tell you. We wanted you to be the first to know.
Mr. Bingley, how do you do? I didn't dream you were in this part of the country.
I only returned this morning. Will you tell her, Jane, or shall I?
You don't have to tell me anything. It's written all over your faces. I congratulate you both.
Well, I think I wouldn't have known that Jane cared if it hadn't been for Mr. Darcy. I still get shaky.
Mr. Darcy?
Of course. He spent all those months in Italy telling me about Jane. I only left, you know, because I couldn't believe she cared. And I wanted to try and get over her. But Darcy kept after me week in and week out saying, "Where's your courage? At least go back and ask her."
We owe Mr. Darcy a great deal, Elizabeth.
Yes. So it would seem.
He's down at the gypsy camp just now, listening to their music. Why don't you go down and see him?
Yes, yes, I must. Oh, I've been such a fool. I wonder if he'll ever forgive me. Mr. Darcy,
Miss Bennet.
It seems I owe you both apologies and gratitude.
Please, please, I don't want gratitude from you.
I wish you did, Mr. Darcy. You paid me the very great compliment once of asking me to marry you. I wish I had not been so hasty or so rude as to say no.
If I asked you again, what would my answer be this time?
Are you asking, Mr. Darcy?
Oh, no. I'm just considering it. What would my answer be? Please tell me, Miss Bennet. Or have you too much pride?
Why, Mr. Darcy, if you did ask me again, I would say, thank you so much. I'll try very hard to make you happy. And I would say, I've loved you from the first moment.
But I seem to find it very difficult to say so. And I would say I'm yours now, whether you want me or not. Completely and forever.
My darling. My darling.
I love you, Mr. Darcy. Very, very dearly.
Mrs. Bennet, I'm very sleepy. What are you crying about now?
Lydia's married, and Jane and Elizabeth soon will be, and we have only two daughters left. Oh, Mr. Bennet, we are going to be so lonely all alone. They'll be married, too, before we turned around. I've lost my baby.
Madam, you baffle me completely.
That's because you've never been a mother, Mr. Bennet. That's because you've never been mother.
Praise God, I never shall.
Amen to that, Mr. Bennet.
Amen indeed, madam. And now, please, may I get some sleep?
Yes, Mr. Bennet, you may. Good night.
Good night.
Mr. Bennet is very tired, and we don't want to keep him awake, so we'll just tell you that everyone lived happily ever after, as was the custom in those days, with no further prejudices and just the right amount of pride. The curtain has fallen on tonight's play, Pride and Prejudice. In just a moment, we'll tell you about next week's play. But right now, listen.
Girls don't say, "I'm pleased to meet a man with breath, not always sweet."
What to do? It's simple. Just brush your teeth with Colgate tooth powder night and morning and before every date for a breath that's sweet and a smile that dazzles. Scientific tests prove in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth while gently removing dull surface film from the teeth. Colgate is the only tooth powder that offers proof of this claim. Yes, Colgate tooth powder performs what it promises. Sweetens your breath in 7 cases out of 10. At the same time, its gentle polishing agent removes dingy film, revealing the natural luster of your teeth, leaving them excitingly clean. Make it a must. Use Colgate tooth powder night and morning and before every date. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Our play next week is the modern romantic story, Dark Victory, the story of a daring young woman who, years before her time, comes face to face with destiny. Until next Tuesday, then, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance presents Dark Victory, this is your host, Arnold Moss, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance. In tonight's play, Elizabeth was played by Joan Wetmore and Mr. Darcy by Alex Scurvy. The radio adaptation was by Gene Holloway, the music composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the production was directed by Mark Sloab. Johnny Sparks is coming home next week. It's his last leave before he goes over. His last chance to tell the family goodbye, and maybe his first chance to see his new baby. Now, will you make sure that Johnny and his buddies have a seat or a berth on the train? You will if you'll forego every trip that's not absolutely essential. And please don't travel over Labor Day weekend, because this Labor Day, every railroad in the country will be taxed with terrific loads. So please put off that pleasure trip until after the victory bells ring out. Please don't travel unless your trip is vital to the war. And here's a thought for everyone. 6 million Americans are fighting overseas. Here at home, let's all remember that until final victory everywhere, winning the war still comes first with every last one of us. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.